Imagine sitting down at your coffee table,
Yeah.
and there are like 1,000 different TV remotes just staring back at you.
That sounds completely exhausting.
Right. But the kicker is, pressing a button on any of them just changes the channel to the exact same show.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a pretty accurate picture of the dizzying reality of the AI marketplace right now.
It really is. So today we are doing a deep dive into Tony Berlinson's article, The Proliferation of AI Apps. And the mission here is to cut through all this noise, figure out why this current AI bubble just has to burst, and, see who survives the coming massive consolidation.
Because the sheer volume is, I mean, it's staggering. Andreessen Horowitz is already on the sixth revision of their top 100 AI apps report.
The sixth revision.
Yeah, sixth. And Microsoft's marketplace is practically bursting at the seams. But while the underlying tech feels unprecedented, this specific market behavior is, well, it's a pattern we've navigated before.
Right, you're pointing to the 1990s internet service providers
Yep.
and early 2000s search engines.
Exactly.
Because Berlinson's piece describes navigating the early web, so AltaVista, Lycos, the old Yahoo homepage, as basically wading through a swamp.
They all offered slightly different packaging to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, and they lost to Google, which, just gave you a clean search bar and a ton of white space.
Well, the mechanism at play there was user exhaustion. I mean, consumers don't want to assemble the technology themselves. They just want invisible utility.
So how does that historical lens apply to the AI flood for us today?
So for consumers, the consolidation looks like mega firms. Think Apple, Meta, Google. They're simply embedding AI directly into the operating systems of your smartphone.
Which means you just get it seamlessly.
Seamlessly and cheaply. But the catch is you get it in exchange for them harvesting your back-end metadata,
Yeah.
much like those early search engines did to sell ads, right?
Right. But I am a bit skeptical that it plays out that simply on the corporate side, though. Well, the barrier to entry to build an AI app right now is practically zero. So aren't a lot of these shiny new corporate startups just, renting massive back-end computing power from OpenAI or Google, slapping an artificial intelligence label on a basic front-end interface, and calling it a day?
It is very tempting to dismiss them all as just basic wrappers.
Because a lot of them kind of are.
True, but that assumes corporate buyers won't catch on. Smart corporations realize that renting those commoditized front-end tools is a dead end.
Okay, so what do they do instead?
To actually survive and protect their intellectual property, they are moving away from rented interfaces. They're building proprietary AI-first platforms.
Which sounds great in a boardroom.
Yeah.
But mechanically, how does a company actually build that without just spending billions to recreate ChatGPT?
It comes down to a tiered architecture. You use large language models, or LLMs, for the heavy lifting.
Like the general reasoning and parsing of complex language.
Exactly. But you pair them with small language models, or SLMs.
But S.
Yeah, SLMs are much cheaper to run, and crucially, they are highly specialized. Since they are trained on a narrow set of parameters, they execute specific industry tasks much faster and with fewer hallucinations.
Oh, I see. Which provides a sharp competitive edge over a slow, generalized LLM.
Precisely.
So, if I'm getting this, the LLM is like the general contractor who understands the overall blueprint, and the SLMs are the specialized plumbers and electricians executing the specific jobs.
That is a perfect way to look at it. But the most critical component linking them together is a secure retrieval pipeline.
A pipeline for what exactly?
For ingesting a company's dark data. That's all the unstructured private information a business generates. Things like internal emails, financial projections, or proprietary code.
So it's keeping it all safe and internal.
Right. The secure pipeline acts as a walled garden. It allows the AI to read and learn from this highly sensitive data without ever leaking it back out to the public internet or the foundational models.
That makes total sense. And that actually brings us to the core lesson from the dot-com era for your daily life.
How to build on top of the technology.
Yes, because the survivors back then weren't just the search engines. The real winners were the companies who built on top of it. Expedia, Netflix, Salesforce, Bloomberg.
They didn't get distracted by building the thousandth remote control.
Exactly. They stood back, looked at the big picture, and built robust data pipelines to actually use the signal.
And the source points out a looming catalyst that makes adopting that mindset pretty urgent.
The incoming legislation, right?
Yeah, we are entering an era of strict corporate AI governance. Laws are going to draw a hard, inevitable line between personal AI use and professional AI use.
So the Wild West phase of freely blending the two is ending.
Completely ending.
Which leaves you with something fascinating to consider. If lawmakers force a strict, impenetrable firewall between personal and professional AI systems, what happens to your workflow?
It's going to get very complicated.
Extremely. Because if your work AI is legally barred from talking to your personal AI, you might soon find yourself managing two completely separate digital brains that aren't allowed to share a single thought.